It's time for the Friday Newscap and some voices from the news this week.
If you've got election deniers serving as your governor, as your senator, as your secretary of state, as your attorney general, then democracy as we know it may not survive in Arizona. That's not an exaggeration. That is a fact.
Horse. And that's what it is. Most of it's horse. And I've been trying to scrape it off my shoes for the last year.
Given the facts that were alleged here, what the order did, responded to those facts and you know, making sure that folks are going to be a certain distance away from the polls, not engaging directly with voters.
We had the third highest number of returns in a single early voting date. This included 109,000 by mail, 17,000 by drop-offs, and 3,000 in-person early voters.
This legislature is the one that approved the spending, so this legislature needs to be the one that, you know, approves the spending limit.
And with me to talk about how a couple of counties have decided to count their ballots, a former president coming to town to rally support in the campaign's waning days, and more, are Julie Earfley of Earfley Uncuffed. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning.
And former state school superintendent Jaime Molera of Molera Alvarez. Jaime, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mark.
So, Jaime, let me start with you on what Judge Mike Liberti did this week, basically reversing himself and with some new evidence, saying that monitors, vigilantes, however you want to describe them, have to observe certain rules when they are monitoring drop boxes. I'm curious, like, what kind of impact do you think this whole story, the, you know, stories of people in tactical gear and weapons hanging out at drop boxes, and then this ruling, like, what kind of impact might that have on early voting in Arizona?
Well, as I've been talking to folks as part of the elections process, very little from what I understand. However, I think we need to be vigilant to make sure there is no intimidation going on either side. We need to make sure that any monitoring that is done legitimately. You know, and that's a process. People forget that monitoring by state parties is a very normal course of business in elections. The Arizona State Republican Party, in my opinion, has done a very poor job of organizing that in the past. So I think because there's been a vacuum, Mark, you're seeing these kinds of groups wanting to take it on. But as long as we have an opportunity to make sure we monitor that well and it doesn't get out of hand, and make sure that if there are problems, we address it very quickly, I don't think it should be a problem in this election cycle.
Julie, the judge clearly found that there was some voter intimidation happening here. Does the fact that he told these groups to back off, does that matter much given the timing of this?
Yeah, I do think that it's important. I think it fuels a lot of the talk that Democrats have been saying when it comes to the danger of these conspiracy theories that have been put out mainly by, you know, far right Republicans. Nobody wants to show up to a ballot box and see somebody in body armor brandishing weapons, taking your license plate, taking a picture of them, putting that online, possibly being doxxed. I mean, those are pretty serious voter intimidation tactics. So, and I do think that this really, it kind of fuels that narrative that Democrats have been saying that, listen, these conspiracy theories are not harmless. They can be dangerous. They have the potential to lead to violence and to people just, you know, basically, like I said, being doxxed online. We know what happens, you know, in that situation. It's not a good look for the MAGA portion of the Republican Party.
I mean, I want to ask you about what Julie just said about this idea that, you know, conspiracy theories aren't harmless. They have real world implications. And, you know, we saw this to some extent with the attack on Paul Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi's husband. You know, there is no evidence that any of the people who are watching ballot drop boxes here have committed any acts of violence. But, you know, we are seeing more and more public officials, candidates, elected saying, you know, that they're a little bit worried. And this is on both sides of the aisle, saying that they're, you know, kind of worried for their safety and their family's safety.
Well, Mark, again, let's get away from the hyperbole of what could happen and all the horrible things and talk about how do we prevent it, make sure that we're monitoring it well. I think the elections officials are doing a very good job of being vigilant to make sure that they are contacting the authorities if there is anything remotely close to any kind of voter intimidation. So that's number one. And I think they've done a great job of that. Again, in my conversations with some of the folks that are running actual polling sites, they've been giving very clear instructions, very good instructions on what to do, and as well as what not to do. Don't escalate these situations. So I think they've done, Stephen Richter, our Maricopa County elections head, has done a yeoman's work in getting prepared and making sure that the staff and volunteers are ready for that. So that's how you diffuse any kinds of possible situations. But luckily, there has been no situations, and if they stay vigilant, like I said, I think this will be a non-issue.
Absolutely. I think regardless of what side of the aisle you're on, we can all hope that there are no problems, no acts of violence or anything like that in any event, much less on election day. Julie, let me ask you about ballot counting. Cochise County has sort of gone back and forth on what they're going to do in terms of a hand count. They now say that they are, in fact, going to do more than what they had originally said. They say that the Attorney General has given them his okay to do this. In terms of, and I don't want to get into the legality of it, but in terms of like just knowing who actually won and knowing who actually won in a timely manner, I think we all saw with the Cyber Ninjas, hand counts take time and are not always as accurate as machines.
That's very true. I think that's what's puzzling about all of this. We already know what happens when you do, a hand count. I mean, there's just so many more opportunities for human error. And we need to keep in mind that there is an audit of the machine count. You know, that is actually happening. And I think this board would be wise to put that information out versus trying to scare people into this need that there needs to be a complete hand count. But again, let's go back to what happened with Cyber Ninjas to see what could potentially happen in Cochise County if they go forward with this. Cyber Ninjas believed that they could do this in about 60 days. I think it took 6 months. It did not change the outcome. There were numerous inaccuracies, but what did it provide? It provided more speculation. It provided more opportunities for conspiracy theories. And it also provided an opportunity for very unscrupulous people to come in and grift off of the entire situation. And I think that's the potential that the Cochise County Board is setting up by trying to do this complete hand count. It just doesn't make sense.
Jaime, the two Republicans on the Board of Supervisors in Cochise County who voted for this said that, much like Karen Fand said in doing the Cyber Ninjas review, that, you know, they're hearing from their constituents, they're trying to instill confidence in the process by doing this. Do you think that that will be the end result of Cochise County's hand count?
The end result being that they're going to get it wrong, because they will if they use a hand count. That's pretty well documented. Every study, every analysis that I've ever come across shows that the human error in hand counts is incredibly high. And so we're talking about a 45,000-ish voters in Cochise County. Mm-hmm. And I believe the process is around 14 days that they'd have to complete it in order to certify the election.
By law,
it has to be. And so it would be almost impossible to get that done and get it done accurately, because when you go vote, and I was fortunate enough to vote yesterday, and it was a great process and it was very well organized, and it took me about 5 minutes to do this ballot. It's a pretty big ballot when you look at, not just, you're not just talking about Masters and Kelly and Lake and Hobbs, but you got every single statewide race, you got legislative races, you got the county races, you know, their particular constables, you got all these sheriff's races or county supervisors, not to mention all the judges. And then you had to turn it over and you're doing all the initiatives. So you have to accurately count not just Masters and Kelly and Lake and Hobbs, but you have to accurately count all the judges and all of the initiatives. So to say that there wouldn't be any error in hand counts is kind of foolish. And I wish that's where Republican leadership at all levels should be saying, okay, let's talk about what was real, and this ain't one of them, as far as bringing election integrity to the ballot.
So, Jaime, I'm going to ask you a really, really naive question here, which is, given all of that, why is Cochise County still going ahead with this?
Well, but that's unfortunately the social media narrative that often takes place in our country right now, trumps facts. And that's happening at all levels. That's happening And I've seen it in healthcare policy and education policy in particular. And that's unfortunate. And so people are looking at these things in social media and they're getting fed by these this narrative that, oh, the only way we can really do this accurately is by handcuffs in this particular instance. And so that's where you just got to fight these kinds of foolish things with the facts, and you just got to pound it. And that's where, you know, leadership needs to come out and say, look, let's be honest. I'm not going to feed this narrative, but I'm going to talk about what actually works. And I want to make sure that everybody that we want to vote for, including in this case, our Republican allies, are treated fairly.
So, Julie, Cochise County is going ahead with their hand count. Pinal County has decided against it. And we should remember that Pinal County during the primary had its share of problems in terms of not having enough ballots and ballots getting sent that were incorrect and things like that. Based on what you're saying, I assume that you would think that Pinal County made the right choice here to not go ahead with an expanded hand count.
Correct. I would agree. And to get back to your original question about installing voter confidence. Again, I think we can go back to what happened in Maricopa County with the cyber ninjas and say definitively that these kinds of recounts do not install voter confidence. That is not at all what happened. Karen Fan is very aware of that. In fact, it really just opens the door to more conspiracy theories. And why do they do it? I think on some level, there is this opportunity, at least by some folks, to believe that if the election doesn't quite go the way that they want, that again, there's this opportunity to sow doubt among voters and to, you know, try and overturn results that they don't want. And so I think that you can't overlook that as a possible motivation for wanting to do a hand count.
All right. We'll have to leave it there for just a moment. That is Julie Earfley. I'm also joined by Jaime Molera. I'm Mark Brody in Phoenix. You're listening to the Friday Newscap. More of the conversation in just a moment. Good morning. It's the Friday Newscap here on KJZZ 91.5. I'm Mark Brody, joined this week by former state school superintendent Jaime Molera of Molera Alvarez and Julie Earfley of Earfley Uncuffed. Guys, I want to talk about former President Obama in the Valley this week. Julie, given the timing of this rally, and he was joined on stage by Katie Hobbs and Mark Kelly and Adrian Fontes, I believe, was there. Was the purpose of this rally really to make sure that people get out and vote? Like, was it mostly a talking to potential voters kind of event?
Yeah, I think it's about rallying the base. It's also about, I think, convincing folks who are maybe on the fence to get out and vote, and that includes independents. You know, what President Obama brings to an audience when he speaks, you know, he's always had this just very inspirational tone. He comes across as somebody who we can believe in, who we can have hope for. And I think that's what's really needed at this time. I mean, there's so much toxicity within our system right now. There's so much negativity. To have somebody that can be a little bit more hopeful, I think is important. And really, these races, they are so close. I mean, if we believe the polls, we may not know until the end of next week who has won a number of these statewide races. And so if having former President Obama in town motivates even several hundred people to vote who would not normally vote, I mean, that can be the difference in some of these races because they really are that close. So I do think it's about motivating the base. I think it's about shoring up support. And it sounds like he did that. And I think also, by the way, the fact that, you know, Mesa's mayor, who's a Republican, joined them on stage, I think was also very powerful and a smart move because it really reinforced this idea that, you know, this is so important. We're talking about a whole slate of election deniers on the Republican side. And do we want 4 years of chaos and instability in Arizona, or do we want, you know, stability? Do we want sanity? And that was the point of this rally. And I think they got the point across successfully.
Yeah, I want to ask about John Giles being on stage there as well. And Jaime, he had also written this week an op-ed in the Deseret News up in Utah about basically why he has endorsed and actually campaigned for some Democratic candidates. Does his being on stage, does that move the needle for independents or maybe Republicans who are maybe a little bit squeamish about voting for Democrats?
No, I don't think so. And let's face it. I mean, right now, the Democrats are doing everything they can. They see the polling numbers, and this is not what I'm hoping for, but I'm just looking at what the numbers are showing and the trends that we're seeing nationally. Democrats are very, very nervous right now because they, even if this were a red ripple, not a red wave, but just a red ripple, and that as it stands, if every party were to win the races they're currently favored to win, then the Republicans win the Senate and they win the House fairly easily. And Arizona has a Republican governor again. So they're wanting to change, or they're wanting to create a narrative of extremism. I mean, the hyperbole and the political exaggeration, I know that that's shocking in politics that it happens, but even President Obama was talking about how this is going to be the end of democracy as we know it in Arizona. And that's kind of out there. I mean, on the Republican side too, you have Republicans saying if we elect these Democrats, then we're going to have socialism run rampant in the state. And so let's be honest about what both sides are trying to do. They're trying to bring out their bases. They're trying to get out the vote. I don't think they're trying to change people's minds right now because the undecided voter is remarkably low. I mean, you're only like 1 or 2% in the Senate race, about the same amount in the governor's race. What they're trying to do is get those people to come out and vote. That's the bottom line. The Democrats are going to need a very high level of early ballot returns to counter what we expect to have on Election Day, which is a very, very high Republican turnout. So the two big things that the Democrats are fighting right now, Mark, you have an 8% Republican advantage. And that's pretty standard right now with pollsters on both sides. They're factoring that in. And that's the number of more Republicans in this state than Democrats, but also the enthusiasm rate that they're seeing. So they are factoring in, on average, an 8% increase. And when you add to that generic ballots that say there's consistently, and it has been for the last 2 weeks, a 3 to 5% Republican enthusiasm, just for the generic, okay, who do you think can deal with particularly the economy better?
Sure, certain issues.
That just bodes well right now for the Republicans. So the Democrats really have to do something, and very quickly, to try and change that narrative. And that narrative being that destabilization of government and at the end of democracy as we know it. That's the rhetoric they're using.
Well, so we always hear that, especially in a midterm, in any election, but especially a midterm election, turnout is really sort of where races are won and lost. Jaime, safe to say that that is maybe even more so the case this year?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The thing that's in the Republicans' favor, again, is it just comes down to one, actually, I would say two big things. The angst over the economy, but it also leads back to their greater angst over the leadership of Joe Biden. And if you look at even Carrie Lake and some of her ads, I'm not so sure she's running against Katie Hobbs. She's running against Joe Biden's leadership. And that's the same thing that Blake Masters is doing. You know, they're kind of, they're saying that Mark Kelly's a tool of Joe Biden, which is why I'm a better candidate for this. So that's the one factor that's really hurting Democrats right now. And that's why Joe Biden hasn't come to Arizona, because that would, they know that would hurt him greatly. And that's why they're bringing in from the bullpen, they're calling in Barack Obama, the lefty, to see if he can help him out.
I like your baseball reference there. Well, and Julie, Jill Biden, the first lady, will also be in the state in the coming days. How well do you think Democrats right now are doing in terms of turnout, trying to get their voters to the polls?
Well, early ballot returns for Democrats have been good, actually. So I think that that's a good point. I will say, when it comes to the polling right now, you know, there was a poll out just a couple of days ago by High Ground, which showed that, you know, if we were to believe that poll, basically a lot of this is going to hinge on independents. Right now, independents are breaking for Democrats, it seems. But again, getting back to turnout and how many of these independents turn out, that could be actually the difference, are those folks that are, you know, registered independents. And so I think, you know, Jill Biden coming to town, I do think that that's important. I know she's going to be canvassing with a lot of teachers, which makes sense. We do have a very important education issue right now that we're talking about, mainly the, you know, aggregate expenditure limit. But having that kind of star power in town really is important. And so I think Democrats are doing a good job. Of course, yes, we're nervous. For good reason, we're nervous. But I do think that it's going to come down to the wire. And I do think that Democrats still have an opportunity in the state of Arizona to pick up statewide races.
All right, so guys, just a couple minutes left. I want to do a bit of a lightning round of some predictions, which we will, of course, hold you to, because clearly you each have crystal balls and can predict the future. So, Jaime, I want to ask you, and let's just talk mostly about the statewide races. Which Republican do you think is the Republican that is most likely to have Republicans not vote for?
Mark Finchem. Mark Finchem, I think that's been clear, and the polling data is showing that. He's the one candidate that I think cannot shake the label because of his connection to January 6th and because of his connection to the Oath Keepers. And the money that's been poured in from national groups, which has been considerable, I think he's the one candidate that will lose out.
Julie, what do you think?
I agree. Yeah.
Julie, do you think that there is a Democrat that is sort of bleeding support among their party?
Well, perhaps Martine Quezada. We haven't heard much about
State
the treasurer's
candidate.
Race. Right, exactly. Yeah.
Jaime, what do you think? A Democrat who could get some amount of Republican support?
Well, of course, I just mentioned Adrian Fuentes, but also Chris Mays, possibly. But aside from Finchem, Mark, I'm seeing these trends being very favorable for anybody that has an R next to their name. And if it continues, Carrie Lake has been able to do a tremendous job of bringing up the folks down ticket. And I would say even the up-ticket race, I think she's helped Blake Masters considerably being able to be more competitive. And that's one of the reasons they've been campaigning together. Whereas on the opposite side of the ticket, Mark Kelly and Katie Hobbs, or Mark Kelly has been keeping his distance as aggressively as he could.
Julie, I know that you said that it's possible that we might not know the results of some of these races until the end of next week. I'm curious, do you think we will actually know the results of these races by the end of next week?
Boy, that's a good question. You know, I think they'll be through most of the ballot count by the end of the week. So I do think that we'll have an answer, but will that be official? Probably not, because, you know, we changed state law. So now there's a bigger gap as far as when recounts are allowed. And
right.
So I think there's a real possibility that the majority of these statewide races could be in for a recount.
Jaime, will we know all the results by Thanksgiving?
Yes. I'm going to make a bold prediction because I'm an optimist, Mark, as you know.
I appreciate that. All right. That is Jaime Molera with Molera Alvarez, also Julie Earfley of Earfley Uncuffed. Guys, thanks so much and enjoy Election Day.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.